This is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Once a week, every week, Entrepreneur Radio. I am Alan Taylor. Our show is the definitive source for thought-provoking, practical business guidance. Welcome aboard. Each guest we have, we like to ask them to share the secret sauce of their success. Our first guest today, co-founder and CEO of Zeta Global, David Steinberg. David, welcome to the show. It's all about big data and analytics these days, isn't it?
It is, Alan. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, it's so funny when I say that. My father is an older gentleman, and yet even at 89 years old, he's still in business. He's still learning. And I think it's so important for us all to never stop learning. Till the last breath, learn, because the world is changing. But when you say big data, I don't know that everyone knows what that means. Now, for those that do, bear with us. For those that don't, get ready for a lesson from David Steinberg. Big data.
Well, it's a great question because we talk about it like everybody in the world understands it. But to your point, I'm sure my mom has no idea what I'm talking about when we talk about it.
Right.
Effectively, big data is the terminology that's been developed for taking these massive pools of disparate data and using it to create an action. So, you know, one of the things I still find dumbfounding is that every year more data is created than every year in mankind collectively leading up to that year.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, it's insane, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, really.
So, literally, that data used to, even when it was created, it used to just sit there. Now what's happening is we're taking that data because of machine learning and artificial intelligence. And, you know, this all happens because of Moore's law and Bezos's law and processing power doubling and, you know, throughput getting cheaper and cheaper. We can now take that data and very efficiently create reports or actions from it and then utilize that to make decisions.
Right. And so many people, and we've said this a million times, we've all heard it a million times, we know advertising works. We know at least half of it works. We just don't know which half. Well, with this kind
exactly.
of analytics and big data, you will know. If you use it, you will know.
Yeah, so one of the crazy things about our platform is when we sit down with a potentially new client, we have 670 customers at Zeta, most of which are in the Fortune 1000. Our first concept is, if you do a $50,000 test with our software and we can't cut your cost to create a customer by at least 25%, we will give you all of your money back.
Wow.
Everybody says to me, how on earth do you make that commitment? And the answer is, it's because we can actually figure out which 50% works.
Right.
So
yeah.
you getting to a 25% efficiency, which for some of our clients is, you know, billions and billions of dollars,
right.
is something we can commit to.
Well, if you could do that for General Motors or Ford Motor Company, who spend, you know, $2 and $3 billion a year, it's a tremendous amount of money. And you're saying you could do that even for a company like that for $50,000?
So, no, that's the start.
I was going to say.
And it grows from there. That's the test.
Right.
But interestingly enough, and I'm not allowed to talk about customers, but three of the five largest automotive manufacturers in the world use our platform.
Wow.
So it's something we do. We really done an exceptional job at helping them take their existing customer data, synthesizing that into who their best customers are. And then we have a proprietary database of 404 million active people that we have legal permission to market to. And we know a tremendous amount about them, from demographic to psychographic to behavioral. We can then use that to build targets that allow us to so much more efficiently help them create customers and figure out which of their existing customers might leave and help them stop that from happening.
Well, I know this company you have, Zeta Global, celebrating 10th anniversary. And I know you guys are kind of looking at the next 10 years, and maybe we can talk a little bit about this big data analytics, artificial intelligence and machine learning and all the stuff that no matter who you are, you better get used to these kind of topics, because this is your life. And if you let this happen and you don't be able to answer the question when somebody says to you, hey, Jack, what's big data? You better have that answer. We're going to take a little break. Come back with more of our friend David Steinberg. This is Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be right back.
There's an old man sitting next to me.
Get the latest issue of Entrepreneur Magazine delivered right to your door. Visit entrepreneur.com and subscribe today.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Thanks for joining us. You better have the eye of the tiger. Of course, that's the song. We're talking with David Steinberg. He is the co-founder and CEO of Zeta Global. And, you know, this is a new one for me, machine learning. I've heard of AI, artificial intelligence. I know what big data and analytics are, but machine learning. Maybe you could help us with this one just a little bit, David.
Well, it's interesting because machine learning and artificial intelligence are effectively the same thing. Artificial intelligence is just a substantially more complex algorithm than machine learning. So if you think about it, the evolution of this started with automation, you know, probably in the 1960s, where IBM came up with the punch machine, where you were automating stuff. It then moved into more complex automation around robotics and manufacturing and other things that have been automated. The next level is effectively automating machines, which is called machine learning, where you tell a machine how to do something and then it does it. Artificial intelligence is the evolution of that, where the machine says, I'd like to learn about this, and then they figure it out.
Good Lord, right? Well, so in the business world with entrepreneurs, what size of business, or maybe that is not even the question, you know, who in business should be concerned with this type of AI and machine learning?
Well, what I always like to say, Alan, is if you're not thinking about machine learning and artificial intelligence, I promise you your competitors are.
Right.
So it's really not a question as to who gets into this. It's just when.
Right.
And it's going to revolutionize and change everything from accounting to legal to self-driving cars and all the way down. For us at Zeta, what we use machine learning and artificial intelligence about, and we've got a pretty extensive patent portfolio in this vertical, is we're really focused on helping to synthesize data and help our clients make decisions faster. For example, back to what we talked about earlier, we have a very large automotive client where we process up to a terabyte of data before a person hits a website. So we know exactly what offer to make to them based on their entire behavioral patterns, their CRM patterns, and their demographic patterns, all in 3 milliseconds.
Good Lord. You know, when you hear about this stuff, the example is, you know, cars these days have some amazing computing power. And one is in the suspension components of, let's just say, the new Cadillac or Corvette, General Motors products, because I'm a big car guy, so this stuff turns me on.
We love General Motors.
Yeah, so let's keep going. It's amazing, though. They can, through their magnetic suspension systems, they can react so fast that it literally is feeling and reading the road 500 times per second. So if it's about to hit a pothole or something, the magnetic suspension system can stiffen up or loosen up, depending on what it needs, and it can make that decision so fast that it's not even funny. 500 times per second, it's figuring it out whether it needs to change the dampening of the shock absorber. So we're talking about massive computing capabilities. And when you can put that same kind of massive computing capabilities to the big data that is being gathered about whatever industry or business you may be in, that is why David Steinberg, by the way, do I see correctly that you co-founded this company with John Sculley, former Pepsi and Apple CEO?
You did. John, in fact, this is
John
and my third company together.
Beautiful. Love John Sculley.
He's great. He's great.
This is amazing.
This is our third company together.
Well, it's no wonder, and I just don't think people realize just how much analytics can happen when the data is fed into whatever you guys are asking it to do. And then if you take machine learning and say, you know, and this artificial intelligence, the machine may ask you questions back. Well, would you like this piece of information? Wouldn't this be helpful?
Actually, Alan, what it will do is it'll actually process the information and then make the decisions for you.
Oh, my God.
So it won't have to ask you a question. It'll just know what to do based on what you've done in the past.
That's scary, so dude. That is scary.
But think about how much safer that same automobile will be. Right.
Oh, yeah, so right,
it's funny. I was on TV yesterday morning, and one of the interviewers said to me, like, what does artificial intelligence do? And I always joke. I say, well, my children always tell me, Dad, you know, you're not curing cancer here. But then I always tell them, yeah, but artificial intelligence probably will.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Right, David? Let me take a little break.
I agree.
Here. Yes. Serial entrepreneur. He's had many, many companies, and now 10 years anniversary, ZetaGlobal.com on the web. Big data, analytics, machine learning, artificial intelligence, all this is our future. It's not only our future, it's our now. We'll take a break. It's Entrepreneur Radio. Then I saw her face.
Now I'm a big Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Hey, don't forget to pick up a copy of Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. And check out our website, entrepreneur.com. There's videos, many, many podcasts. Not just this one, but this one is there. This is also broadcast on 2530 radio stations. But there's many different podcasts. Our editor-in-chief, he has a couple of his own. Two separate. It's a great place to go if you're an entrepreneur, trust me. David Steinberg is joining us. He's a co-founder and CEO of Zeta Global, ZetaGlobal.com on the web. Him and John Sculley, former Pepsi and Apple CEO, founded this company, celebrating 10 years. Congratulations, David.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's been, as an entrepreneur, you know that you can't say it's all been fun, but it's really been rewarding.
Yeah, well, I'm looking here while the commercial break was on. This is your fifth company. Just under $2 billion in business you guys have sold, right?
Yeah, so already exited. The first four exited for just about $2 billion, and then we currently have Zeta, which is not included in that number.
Good Lord. So, I mean, for entrepreneurs, you folks listening, if that alone doesn't make you want to go, all right, this guy probably knows what he's talking about, as well as the fact that just the conversation early on, it's an eye-opening experience for many people to hear things like this big data analytics and, you know, stuff that, you know, was way off in the future. By the way, everybody, time never sleeps. It's here. Like I said, it's our now. So for entrepreneurs, it's just so important. And one tiny little story, tiny, tiny. My father, he keeps throwing money. We've talked about this on the show enough. He keeps throwing money at Facebook and he doesn't understand. So I had a guy on that wrote a book about how to market and do stuff with Facebook. And so every time my dad comes to me, I think to myself, it's amazing how entrepreneurs, they never stop. They keep going and going and going. But we must understand what we are doing, must educate ourselves endlessly. And with all this going on, David, machine learning and artificial intelligence, with all of this going on, it's going to get easier, I believe, but we also must know how to drive the car before we get behind the wheel. You got to take some tests. You got to do a little practicing. That's what this is all about. That's what being an entrepreneur is all about. Your fifth company like this with all these exits, and you've done well for yourself. And so we're glad to have you on. Thank you so much. I have my first question for you, just for fun. If you could give yourself advice 20 years ago, what would it be today?
Buy Google stock.
There you go. Okay, beyond that, though. Right.
Other than that,
yeah.
I would say that, you know, be more calm. Today, I used to feel like I would get very excited. I could get very upset and I would get very emotional about decisions. And today, I think I'm a more efficient leader because I'm able to stay more calm. And that was something that I had a problem with 20 years ago. Yeah. That I think I'm not Zen by any means, but I think that I do a better job of staying calm today than I did 20 years ago. And I think that would have allowed me to grow more as a leader and grow more as an entrepreneur if I didn't get so upset and so excited at certain things back then. Hmm.
You know, it's such a good point. I said something to my attorney the other day. Something happened, and I called him up all excited, and he says, just calm down. Just calm down.
Right.
And you know right. what? I mean, we – listen, we're so passionate about what we do, so when something upsets us or gets us excited, you know, entrepreneurs get that much more excited and upset and everything else. So you're right.
Correct.
Yes, be calm. That's good. Meditate. Let me ask you about the media landscape and the big impact – of this type of stuff we're talking about, this big data. How is that changing, and how does it impact Zeta Global? You guys have to be way out in front of it.
Well, we have been. I mean, that's what we do. We help our clients to stay out in front of what's happening with the convergence or the juxtaposition of kind of analog marketing, where today, as crazy as this is, 70% of global marketing is still TV, radio, print, direct mail, and outdoor advertising. Only 30% globally is digital. We expect over the next 10 years those numbers to juxtapose. So you'll go to 70% digital, 30% analog.
Yeah.
All of that changes how large companies interact with their existing customers and potential customers. And the, you know, back to your point, I'm sure your dad does a really good job of buying Facebook media, but at the same time, the ability to target to the one person who really wants to buy his product or service versus 100 people to find two or three that are interested.
Yeah.
And that's really what our platform does on the acquisition side. On the CRM side, it's the ability to take digital behaviors and layer them in with actions they take inside of a client's ecosystem. For example, one of the largest cellular providers in the world is our client. We track when people who are their clients go and run searches about their competitors. Mm. We then layer that against people who have called their call center to complain at least two times over the last 12 months. So if somebody has called their call center to complain within 2 months or within 6 months of the end of their contract and they're researching their competitors, we can then score that person as highly probable to leave. And then actions are created to try to convince them to stay.
Utter brilliance.
That's kind of a well, thank you.
Yes.
But no human can do that, right?
No.
That's machine learning that's importing, you know, trillions of data points.
Yeah, no.
To figure that out. But ultimately, all that matters is if Joe Smith is going to switch from carrier A to carrier B, carrier A needs to know how to get in front of that before they make their final buying decision, which doesn't happen the day after they call the cancel.
ZetaGlobal.com, David Steinberg. Excellent insights. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Alan. I really appreciate your time, and I love your show.
Thank you. Please say hi to John Scully for me. He's been great.
I definitely will. Yep, I'll be talking to him later today.
Fantastic. This is Entrepreneur Radio. Just another way to survive.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
So, you know, I do have friends that are not embracing technology. It's like watching, you know, the whole thing, Bitcoin. I don't know if you guys are following that. I have one friend that's like worth $400 billion now because he bought Bitcoin. I don't know. Who knows what he's worth, but he's definitely worth a lot of more money if Bitcoin is really real. But there's still people that are like me, that are like, Bitcoin. Right, Bitcoin. And then he laughs because, you know, he's worth jillions of dollars. Well, that's kind of the way it is with technology for many people. They're like, I don't know. Maybe we'll go back to analog one of these days. So, no, you got to embrace technology. So to talk a little bit about this is a woman who has helped millions of entrepreneurs and employees around this world embrace technology. Her name is Melanie Gass, small business technologist. She has a podcast, by the way, Expand with Tech. Put a .com and you'll find that. Expand with Tech. Her and I have known each other because she worked at Microsoft, still does actually, but, you know, and we did the whole business and burger stuff together, and you guys can check that out at businessandburgers.com if you haven't already seen that. Do waste some time doing that. Hi, Melanie.
Hey, great to be here.
Did you notice how I said
burgers?
Right?
It's worth checking out, by the way.
It is
really good.
Especially right around lunchtime because it'll make you really want a burger. Anyway.
Totally.
Let's talk about, let's just start right there with, you've helped millions of employees and entrepreneurs embrace technology. How does that start with you? I mean, where do you, like, you like, you shake them, smack them in the face? Where does it start? You know?
Usually it's because I hear about a problem that they have.
Right.
And they're afraid of change. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's change, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people are very nervous about change. And, you know, they're okay with upgrading to the latest phone that becomes available. But it, when it comes to anything else, they're just very receptive to staying with the status quo.
Okay, let me give you the example. My dad is 89, right? He's 89 years old. Still, he does a podcast. Mm-hmm. He has for years embraced technology. I remember he was writing a book, and I see him talking into this little microphone that's, you know, on a headset. This was like, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, when even then he was old, and he's older now. Point is, he was using DragonSpeak to write a book so that he didn't have to type it all in, and then he would just go back in and correct that. Well, so now here, fast forward. Now, my mom is 87. My mom does not even want a cell phone. I'm like, Mom, you could be watching all your grandkids. You got like 25 and some great grandkids, another 10 or 15. You could be watching all their lives, and you could see the photos of them swimming and playing and having a fishing and whatever they're doing. And she does not want to embrace technology. I said, it will enhance your life. Okay. Thing number one. Thing number two, when you're in business, there are so many free tools. It's like if somebody said to me, and I was a mechanic, hey, you want some tools? I got a whole bunch of tools over here. You know, tool truck pulls up. Tools on top of tools. Take any tool you want. It's all free, and it'll make your job easier. And if you go, nah, I'm good with my, you know, with my adjustable end wrench and a pair of pliers and some baling wire and duct tape. No, use these tools in your business. So, I mean, am I touching on some of these people that are not embracing it?
That sounds like pretty much every single person that I run into. And I think, you know, part of it is they feel very overwhelmed by it. And if you can help take that barrier down and show them that it really is not as scary as they think it is, then when they see how it can actually help them in their day and they see a live example of it, it starts to break the wall down and all of the overwhelm seems to dissolve. And they're a little more open to embracing it.
Yeah. So my dad here, now he's 89 years old. He's tweeting, he's Facebooking, he says to me, look at this. My dad's British, right? Look at this. I've got 9 million people have looked at that. I'm like, what? How did you do that? It's like, I'm thinking to myself, here's an 89-year-old man that has tremendous following because he embraced technology. So, and he's expanded his entire world. I mean, literally worldwide audience. That's the other thing. You want to expand your world? Embrace technology. Right, Melanie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the past, like let's say 10 years ago, if I were an entrepreneur looking to hire someone, I would have a very small radius of availability to work with. So finding skill sets for the particular position I was looking to hire for would be very difficult depending on where you live. And in many cases in rural geographies, that becomes even more difficult and the pool is very small. But because of the evolution of internet and this now fourth industrial revolution that we live in, it really gives an opportunity to expand beyond that local geography to anywhere around the globe. It also means you get to sell anywhere around the globe that you want to. So where you were limited to the retail store that you may have as a brick and mortar on the corner of the small town, you can now expand your business, become a global business, and sell that product anywhere, anytime, 24/7.
All right. I love this stuff. And I understand that you've been called something like the queen of Microsoft the print Microsoft princess or something?
Microsoft princess. Yes. I had that title. I was a small business owner with a tech firm for 11 years, and that became my nickname because I was the walking information center of, you know, how-tos when it comes to Microsoft products. So
right,
that's how I ended up with the name.
And through my relationship with Microsoft, they worked with us to create 40 episodes, by the way, of Business and Burgers, where we'd take an entrepreneur to lunch, sit down, and we say we would extract the secret sauce of their business success. And it's a fun little show, but I end up meeting and becoming friends with all these people that are in the Microsoft world. And, you know, I was one of those guys, you know, I didn't personally want to embrace technology. I would hire people that did. So now, you know, as I'm 57 years old, I'm more and more starting to embrace it and try and understand it, because I think there's certain kinds of people that they're like, I would rather hire somebody to do it for me than do it myself on one hand. But I am a total DIY human being. I started out my life as a mechanic and a body man and fixing cars. And, you know, I worked for Car and Driver and Motor Trend for the last 25 years. And then when it comes to technology, you know, there's a convergence of the automobile and the technology world, where now you have cars, you know, autonomous self-driving cars and smart cars. Mm-hmm. And now it's also in the home, the smart homes. And it's like, uh-oh, I should have embraced technology a little sooner. All right, I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to have you give us some tips for small business owners and people that, you know, should embrace technology. One little thing I noticed.
That's good.
Yeah. You have, of course, the podcast Expand with Tech. You can find it expandwithtech.com. And she says here, I believe small businesses have a small window of time to adopt technology before their doors close. If that's you out there, you better hang through the commercial. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Never have to worry. Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, we're talking with Melanie Gass. She is from the podcast Expand with Tech. She's also been with Microsoft for years, and she is an entrepreneur. Was, is, and will continue to be. Again, she launched the podcast to help educate small businesses on the latest technologies to help them thrive in their business. But she says she believes it's small. There's a small window for small business, small window of time to adopt technology before they close their doors, because you either get with the groove or you lose. Why do you think that? I mean, that's a pretty harsh thing to say. I mean, I got a pizza parlor. I make pizzas. I put them in the oven. You know, I got dough. Yeah. I got cheese. I got, you know, how much more? Why do I need technology? I can make flyers and go across the street. But I think still, if you want to expand your horizons, it's much easier with tech, right?
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing that I've seen personally over the last few years is the impulsiveness of consumers today to buy something. So let's take the pizza parlor that you just mentioned. If that pizza parlor does not offer a text option to be able to order their pizza, they don't offer an online ordering capability for their pizza, they don't work with local delivery companies that are out there to help service and deliver for them, those are all extra opportunities to expand their business. But the local pizza parlor could be shut out by a complete new generation of people coming in,
right,
because they didn't expand with the technology available today.
Good point. You can also do it wrong. You can advertise worldwide for a pizza parlor. You got one oven. You got four employees. That's using your money wrong. Focus in. Make sure you learn how to use the web and, you know, social media to make sure you focus in on your local area. That's why you got to have somebody like Melanie Gass to be able to teach you how to do these things. All right, let's talk
Absolutely.
About it. Give us a couple of tips, that things that people can do.
You know, the number one thing that I always see it when I look at someone's business card, I always check to see if their email address matches their company name and their website. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I look for that is because immediately if I see that their email address does not match and it's a public account like a Yahoo or a Gmail or a Hotmail or any of the other public ones that are out there, I know that they are, number one, a solopreneur, and number two, from a statistical perspective, they are taken less seriously than those that have a company that match.
Wow.
So you're almost discrediting yourself if you don't have that in 3 seconds of time that someone takes a look at the business card. So for me, that's the number one thing I look at, because that's my first opportunity to help them and to educate them that this should all match. And thankfully today, it's very affordable. You know, I just saw a website platform. It's a public platform anyone can use. And it's $9 a month. They can build their own website. It includes technology support. They can add on an email address for free, and they can buy the company name website right from there too, or they can go through somebody else.
All right.
But the point is, for $10 a month, or, you know, about $120 a year, they can embrace technology in a way that wasn't available at, you know, such an affordable rate years before.
All right. In 2 minutes, give me like three more little pieces before we get run over by a commercial of good, great advice from Melanie Gass.
Yeah, sure. So the second thing I would say is, you know, speaking along the lines of the website, to find out what your differentiating factor is. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of people that do the same thing, and the internet will provide a lot of different search results and a blanket opportunity for anyone to take advantage of. But whatever you can find that makes you more special than anyone else, evangelize that on the website, because 70% statistically of buying decisions are made through the internet searches before they ever reach out to you as an owner. So the more that you can evangelize your unique difference, and the more that you can make sure that that message is out there to social media, as you mentioned, website, anything electronic, then the better opportunity you have to gain new business leads. And then the next thing, customer service isn't just important, it is absolutely key to the product or service. And really, when I say it's key to gaining new fans. So from the second that they visit your website, from the second that they give you a call, from the second that they email you, whatever that experience is a decision maker of whether or not they will become a fan or not a fan.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm playing a little Blue Jeans Blues from ZZ Top for you.
I love it.
I did a show with Billy Gibbons.
He's
a talk about a guy that adopts technology. He makes his own albums, and he mixes them. It's amazing to watch this man. Anyway, Melanie Gass, small business technologist, expandwithtech.com. If you want more advice, you can listen to her podcast, Expand with Tech. Melanie, you killed it. We had two short segments, but it was fun. Thank you.
No, thank you. So grateful for it.
All right. When we come back, we're going to be hearing from our friend Chase Jarvis and answering some of your questions right here on Entrepreneur Radio, Entrepreneur Weekly. Every week, don't miss it on radio stations around America and on the internet. We do the podcast, too. We'll be right back.
I could tell that day was mine from now on.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Well, it's now time to answer some of your questions with my friend Chase Jarvis. He has The Daily Creative. He answers questions for a lot of folks. You can call 802-962-4357 if you want to leave a question for Chase. Like the one right now from David. David is a freshman going to the University of Oregon and feels like he's wasting his life at college. He wants to do something more meaningful, but he doesn't know where to start. Chase, what do you think?
So, David, the reason that you are there, if what you say is true, that you don't know what to do, is literally to explore. So what you should be doing is you should be devouring all kinds of stuff that interests you. Do not just listen to your parents. And if your mom is like listening to this, or you could say, hey, mom, I was on this show. Mom, earmuffs for a second, because I'm talking to you, David. So ignore your parents, ignore pop culture, think about what's in here and what do you want to do. Take classes in the stuff that you have. If you have a belief that you might be interested in it, take that class. I don't think you should be on the mission critical for your graduation path if you have no idea what you want to do. You should be using your time at school, both in the class experience and outside, to experiment. Because here's what it is. the risks right now, basically zero or super, super low. You don't have overhead. You don't have a wife and kids, or maybe you do. I'm making some assumptions as a freshman in college. You wouldn't have those things. So your goal in life is to experiment right now. You have to take risks. That is a huge opportunity right now. This is the time of life to take risks. So risk number one is, while you're wasting your parents' money at school without knowing what to do, experiment like hell. Like, the price for not doing what you want to do in life is so much greater than pushing through the noise or the challenges, because A, life fulfillment, B, if you do, you know, burn 3 or 4 years right now and it's the wrong thing, it's fine. But God, don't do something you're not put on this earth to do. Do the best you can, find something, experiment. Now, there's one level deeper, and that is, Katarina Fake says, it's never too late to go back. And she said this to me in an interview on 30 Days of Genius, never too late to go back. Never, as in never. So if you're 2 weeks from your college degree and you realize that you've got this thing that you want to do, go do that thing. You can always come back and finish college. 2 weeks might be a little bit. Maybe stick it out. But you get the point. And then once you do that, I'm going to give, this is, again, that next level answer is, what people don't realize is that the thing that you do when you master your craft is you get good at learning a thing. So I would encourage you, let's say you experiment at University of Oregon, you find a thing, you're going to write screenplays. You fall in love with writing screenplays, and you're in, you know, that's probably the art department or the drama department. So you go in there and you love this. You get so good at it. You kick out a few screenplays, Hollywood picks you up, you're on this amazing journey. That's not to say you're always going to be a screenwriter, especially you're like 19. The mastery of a craft, what it does is it allows you to learn other things, because you are able to deconstruct when you get a degree in screenwriting, you master that craft. What you're able to do after that is deconstruct all of the things that created the success in the area that you're focusing on. And then you can lift and stamp that concept into other areas of life. That is the story of my personal career. I focused very, very heavily on photography. It was the only thing I did for, say, 10 or 15, maybe more years. I mastered that, got to the very tippy top of that industry. And not only did I meet other people, other captains of industry, at that point I could deconstruct the thing, the set of things. It's who I knew, how much I focused on my craft, what circles I ran around in, and what was hard and what was easy about that particular thing. And then I could use it to do other things, like, you know, I created the first iPhone app that shared photos of social networks, and we've got Creative Live here. I leveraged all of those learnings into how to create this particular thing right here. So life is long. You need to figure out something that you actually care about. In order to get there, you have to experiment. And when you experiment, go deep. When you figure out you don't like that thing, pull back. Figure out something else. Go deep. And I believe that if you say you started at screenwriting and then you said, you know, it's less about the screenwriting and more about actually making a film, and then when you're in that mode, you're like, oh, you know what, I really love cameras and technology, and I want to be a director of photography, and then you figure that out. But you only got to director of photography by starting doing something. So that is your mission for the next year. And again, if your mom says you got to pick a major and start today, I'm sorry, you're going to have to like duke that out with mom or mom and dad or whoever. And maybe you're putting yourself through college. This is an opportunity to take some risks. The risks, like the downside right now, is so low. What can you do to take a flyer?
You can call 802-962-4357 for the Daily Creative and leave a question for Chase, and we may answer it right here on Entrepreneur Radio. Also, find Chase Jarvis at creativelive.com. This is Entrepreneur Radio. We'll see you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.